We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ah, yes. Welcome back in. We are so excited. We love this each and every Tuesday at 2:35. We get to be joined by our radio.com sports NBA insider, Brian Scalabrine. Brian joins us. Thank you, Brian, man. How's your day going, man?
Yeah, day's going well. Getting some work done. Just gearing up for this weird summer that we're all about to have watching NBA basketball.
It is strange, man. And I want to get to it because it seems like the Rockets are becoming the it team. I know you talked about it with us last week where you kind of liked their opportunity, and Kendrick Perkins and Jay Will were speaking about it yesterday. There's one part, though, that I think hasn't been talked about enough. With this small ball approach, it feels like to me that they're taking away the best thing that P.J. Tucker does, and I think that's guard perimeter players. And now that he's having to guard, you know, really fives on this defense, it seems to take that away. Could you see that being an issue down the stretch?
Well, you know what? The greatest strength that the Rockets have is not necessarily what you're talking about, the man on defense with P.J. Tucker on the perimeter. It's their ability to all five guys can switch out. Like in the NBA, rotation kills you. If you're running around the floor, you know, you got to suck in when they throw that alley-oop to the big, and then you got to get out to the three-point line. And most of that is caused by a pick and roll. Well, to eliminate all that, you switch to pick and roll, and you just turn every team into that isolation basketball. And I think if you go into it, playing the Houston Rockets, and you're going to play isolation basketball, more times than not, the Rockets are going to win. They're a better isolation team than anybody else. And I know coaches, they preach to their team, we got to move the ball. But there's no – you're trying to get guys on skates. You're trying to get guys flying all over the court, and you can't do that when they switch. So when you say – His ability to guard the perimeter, well, he can guard anybody, and then next thing you know, a screen happens. Now he can get switched out onto another guy. So I like what the Rockets are doing. The only thing I would be worried about if I was the Rockets is the only way to discourage LeBron James from getting to the basket is to have a shot blocking guy at the rim. He's not going to be discouraged by P.J. Tucker at the rim, even though I don't think that Anthony Davis posting up is going to be what beats the Rockets. So I'm high on P.J. Tucker and his defensive versatility.
Brian, what's the most impressive thing or most important thing from a former player's perspective that the Rockets should have done or learned over this four-month COVID-19 break? I mean, there's a lot of talk about D'Antoni self-scouting, about him being able to expand this offense, Harden's in shape, the additional pieces that they added midseason on the fly, maybe getting those guys caught up to speed on what it is small ball is, the emphasis on the defensive end of the floor as a group. I mean, there's a lot of things that people expect the Rockets to have improved over this four-month break. What do you think is the most important improvement they could have and should have made over this break?
Yeah, it's all James Harden. You think about James Harden, and I feel like a lot of his playoff lapses have to do with the fatigue. Remember, he's been an 82 game or 81 game a year guy. It's, you know, he has so much of the load to carry. Like if I go right now and play pickup against, you know, high school kids and I have to shoot the ball every time, it's exhausting. Have to guard the other team's best player. Sometimes it's exhausting. So I think for the Rockets, it's all eyes are going to be on James Harden. If he is in shape, if because of, let's just say, the Orlando bubble, let's say the travel and all the media requests, you know, the escapades at the strip club that he's not going to be allowed to go to. If you take all that into account, James, this should be James Harden's best playoff run. And remember when they lost to the Warriors and they went 0 for 27, missed 27? Like, that's not going to happen in this environment. It's not – it's just one of these things where – I feel like they're going to play at their rhythm. Harden's going to play at his rhythm. He's going to get his shots when he wants to. Westbrook's going to bring his energy. Defensively, they all know what they need to do. Gordon is a guy that if you sleep on him, he'll get 30 on you. So I'm high on the Rockets, really high on the Rockets. The only thing I'm not sure about is I really want the Rockets to play the Clippers. I just want to see that matchup. But I've seen LeBron so many times and him turning the corner and elevating, and there's no one at the rim to discourage him from doing that. I would really be worried about the Laker matchup.
And you see it different with Kawhi? Because you see it different with Kawhi and Paul George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys pull up. They're like more, like you ever see Kawhi gets into that fadeaway or Paul George gets into the hesitation pull up. LeBron, no matter what, you can play great defense. You see, and you ever watch or see a photo of him when he's really low and he's got his shoulders beneath the guy who's 6'5", 6'6", and his shoulders are beneath that guy's hips. You can play perfect defense with LeBron and he can get to his spot. The only thing that will ever make him miss at the rim is big, giant shot blockers at the rim. And that's like kind of like the thing with the Clippers too, right? Like they don't have – like Montrezl is fine. He's fine at the rim, but they don't have enough shot blocking at the rim. I'm not picking the Lakers to win at all. I'm just telling you right now that the thing that I'd be worried about if I was the Rockets would be LeBron James getting his shoulders down, getting to the rim, and just constantly attacking.
Scout, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's the first time I've ever heard a basketball analysis basically – explain how you should rush the passer. And I guess LeBron James, he is very flexible and can bend and rush the passer as well as he can get to the rack, man. But what's the answer though, Brian? I mean, hell, you said that's who you're worried about. What the hell are the Rockets going to do if they do get up against the Lakers and they don't have anybody to protect the rim against LeBron? What's the answer there, man?
Yeah, the answer's on the other end of the floor. You're hoping, it's a big, big plus for the Rockets if they're matched up against the Lakers with Avery Bradley not there. The weakness for the Lakers is perimeter defense. Obviously, LeBron is going to be able to defend his position, but they need guards that can, like, really get after it. Avery Bradley was that guy. Avery Bradley is not just elite on their team. Avery Bradley is elite in the NBA. So the weakness for the Lakers is going to be perimeter defenders. So if they're guarding Westbrook, you could take advantage of it. Whoever's guarding Westbrook or whoever's guarding Harden, whoever has the worst of the two players, or even throw Gordon into that mix, that there's going to be a guy on the Lakers that's not going to be able to stay up with one of those three guys, if not two of those three guys. So that would be the answer on the other end of the floor.
Brian, they brought in J.R. Smith to save the day. What are you talking about?
J.R. Well, here's the thing. In a normal circumstance with the Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, those guys have so much time. But in this scenario, everybody's coming back at the same time. Everyone's been off for a couple months. So I'm not expecting those guys. Those guys are, once again, good offensive players. I think Deion Waiters has been known as an elite offensive player. He was great with Miami two seasons ago. But I'm still, for the Lakers, it's perimeter. It's perimeter defense. That's where you have to, and especially nowadays where you can't touch anybody, you got to have elite defenders on the perimeter so you don't get in foul trouble. You don't hand check guys. So that Avery Bradley opting out of this thing is a huge, huge loss for the Lakers.
Yeah, huge, especially against a team like the Rockets with the two guards that they have. Brian Scalabrine, our radio.com sports NBA insider, is with us. And that it was interesting when you talked about the size factor and more, not a less, not more in the post with Davis or, Miguel or JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard, but really more in terms of protecting the rim. Do you see any way that Tyson Chandler would be helpful in that series, or would him coming out just crush too much of what the Rockets want to do?
No, I think D'Antoni can use him. Tyson Chandler's he's been a big time lob threat and one of the better ones. You never know with guys when they get a little bit older, but if the same way they use Clint Capella, diving to the rim, throwing it up, it's just like they just can't have 25, 30 minutes of that. So yeah, I think you want to have size. It's It's almost like this. Like, I don't know if you guys are handy or not. And you guys do work around your house. Okay. Well, when you're doing work around your house and you're a do-it-yourselfer, if you don't have the right tools, you can get the job done. You can. But if you have the right tools in your tool belt, it makes everything so much easier. And for Daryl Morey and D'Antoni, you got to have the right tools. And all the time, you got to have the right tools. You want to have – if you need a tool for 5 minutes, you better be able to use a guy for 5 minutes. And I think D'Antoni does a great job with that, of picking and choosing which guys to use at certain times. So, yeah, there's going to be times where you're going to be like – you'll see Chandler play 10 minutes and you're like, man, he made a huge impact in this 10 minutes. We might have won this game because if he didn't play. But the next game, there might not be a need for him.
It's unbelievable, Scal. I mean, I'm learning so much. I mean, I'm in the middle of that phase in my life, probably a little later than most. I'm 42 years old. I'm just learning that, hey, idiot, if you just go get the right tools, you can do that in about a quarter of the time and you don't kill yourself doing it.
Is that where you are, Clint? Because I'm in the just stop.
That's exactly
just
where
I'm at. Stop and call somebody. I mean, hire somebody.
Look, I've always been that I'll out-hustle you guy. Like, I'll just out-hustle you. I'll work harder. Yeah. I'll do it longer. Yeah. And the other guy, he's a six-pack in at the bar by the time I'm wrapping up. I ain't even in the shower yet. I mean, damn.
You got to have the right tools. I just built a massive shed. And I have a nail gun. Man, I would have quit 10 times over if I had to do it with a hammer and nails. So it's just like, you got to have the right tools when you're building. And the same thing when you're a coach, you got to have the rest. That's why you want 13 guys, 14 guys, 15 guys. You got to have the right tools. If you're trying to win an NBA championship, you want to be a good regular season team. There's a lot of different ways you can do that to win it all. You got to have all the tools in your tool belt, something that you're going to need at a certain time. It's going to be the most valuable thing you'll use. And you might only need it one time, but you're going to want that tool.
Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Scal, what about the Rockets schedule, the regular season schedule? I mean, I think one of the reasons that they're such a hot topic right now is because they're a team that can – that should climb over this 8-game span, that they can really move over this 8-game regular season wrap-up, especially with the schedule that they drew. Over this schedule, you got Dallas, Milwaukee, Portland, the Lakers, Kings, Spurs, Pacers, 76ers. Which one of those games do you think, if the Rockets win that game right there, would be more of a statement than the others?
Well, first of all, with this, all these games, the teams that are playing for something versus not playing for something. Like, if you go play the Bucks, normally a Rockets Buck game is going to be like, all right, this is going to be great. You got these guys battling it out. But I think what's the advantage to having a top seed? What's the advantage to pushing your players and winning games? So I know the NBA is calling it the regular season, but the teams like Portland, the teams like Memphis, New Orleans, those are going to be hard games. I'll tell you another one. The Washington Wizards are sending down a bunch of G League guys. And everyone is like, I'm not sure if I want to go, or I'm not sure if I want to be here. I tell you who wants to be there. G League guys playing for a job next year. Those guys want to be down there. They're loving the fact that they get an opportunity to play. So where if you look on paper, you're like, the Washington Wizards, who are these guys? But you'll be surprised how hard they play. Then you go and say the Bucks, and if Giannis only plays a couple minutes, or if Coach Budenholzer is like, what's the point of playing guys? There's no home court advantage. There's nothing. We just got to get guys in shape and not get them hurt. So I think when you look at strength of schedule, you got to throw all that out. The one game I would look at would be the Portland game. If Portland wins their first two, and now they got the Rockets, they're in striking distance of the Memphis Grizzlies or New Orleans, where they can get into this play-in game. And nothing can make your season better than playing against the L.A. Lakers, and you never know what would happen in this environment. So I think that when people start talking about strength of schedule, we got to kind of like move that to the side, because we don't know what these teams are going to do.
No, I hear that, Brian. Do you think the big three, the Lakers and the Bucks, they get both of those teams? Do you think in any way this is could be a confidence booster for the Rockets players? Now, I understand what you're saying. If Giannis only plays 10 minutes of the game, then that's different. But if they play as close to regular as they would play, and the Rockets beat them, do you think that can enhance confidence, especially with a new system and saying, all right, we know we can beat the best that it is to offer? Could that be something that's helpful?
I think the Rockets are supremely confident. I don't think they're going to need a win here or there to get their confidence. I think they're going to navigate through these eight games. And then it depends on who they get in the first round. But if I'm the Rockets, my eyes are on the Lakers and the Clippers, and when am I going to match up against them? And then how is our game plan? How is our system going to be better than their system? I think these eight games, think about preseason. Just like wrap your mind around, you have 22 teams there, and I think 15, maybe 14 of them are all set. They're ready to go. They're just going to like figure out a way to finally tune their final product, and then eventually it's going to be the rest of those teams battling it out to try to make the playoffs. But I think a lot of these guys are going to treat it like preseason. You'll see the first quarter, you'll see the third quarter, and then outside of that, you won't see these guys, you know, like diving on the floor in the fourth quarter until the playoffs start. I think everyone down there is playing these games just to get ready for the playoffs.
Brian Scalabrine, our radio.com sports NBA insider. Man, the thing that I've learned about you a little bit is I know you're not afraid and you'll come out and speak the honest truth. Man, I need to ask what could be a problem here, man. They're in this bubble, and I know you've talked about James and his escapades with strippers, and he's going to lose that. I know we've had conversations about that. Man, I've heard some crazy stories from NBA players. Like, threesomes is not a strange thing. It's a serious thing that can happen. And I could just imagine some of the gentlemen that you had as teammates, and I'm talking prior to Sam Clancy. I mean, after Sam Clancy, guys you've had as teammates, that's probably something they've been through. How difficult is that going to be? I'm serious. How difficult is that going to be for players that entire part of their lifestyle has changed?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming.
Oh, come on, Brian.
Yeah, we can see the best version. No. I'm assuming we'll see the best version of the NBA, but I'm not 100% sure that that's what we're gonna get. And maybe guys are just like, maybe it bothers them. You're talking about what you just mentioned, whether it's threesomes or strip clubs or whatever their life looks like. You're talking about going cold turkey and stopping all that, everything. We don't know what's gonna happen, and I think just like in the bubble, we don't know how players are gonna respond to no fans. We don't know how players are gonna respond to that either. So this thing is gonna get, it's gonna be really interesting. You're gonna see some players are gonna be exceptional. You're gonna see some players that are really gonna struggle with it. But there's no clear cut answer on, you know, all the guys down in the NBA and what's gonna happen to every single one of them. But I do think that it's good for James Harden. I do think that. So of all the players out there, because, when he gets down to Miami, just look at his stats. Like, when you see him in Utah, look at his stats there. It's like a different animal. So I do think James Harden is going to be spectacular.
Yeah, look here. It is untied and undefeated, fellas. So there's no doubt the NBA is going to be more focused over the next couple of months than they have ever been. And we can all relate to that.
Yeah,
so,
right. Or somebody's going to lose their mind.
Yeah, well, or that. You know, at some point, we all go crazy. But
oh, I have.
How about this here, Scal? How about this? Show and I, we had a discussion a few days back, man, about – I'm not real sure. We couldn't decide whether there's a team that's ever won an NBA title that didn't have a white guy on their team. Isaiah Hartenstein, who we learned, by the way, he's part Afro-German. I know that's hard to wrap your head around, given that he is super white looking. But nonetheless, I'm not sure a team's ever won an NBA title without a white guy. What in the hell are the Rockets going to do? Is there somebody out there on the streets that they can go grab and put on the bench to give?
Are you available, Brian? Let's just talk.
I am available. Wait a minute. You know, by the way, it's so funny because I played against Hartenstein's dad, and it was like a weird moment when I was out there, and I played against him when I was in college, and I was like, wait a minute, I know that name. And then I had to go back and I looked him up on Wikipedia, and was like, sure enough, his dad played at Oregon. So and yeah, he's Afro-German, right? That's what he is.
Afro-German. So, I'd never heard of it. I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah. So,
I'll be damned.
Yeah, I didn't know. You're telling me there's never been?
I went through, Brian. Of course, you and the 2008 team stepping up to help.
Now, wait. Now, when you say white guy, it could be a European.
Full. Yes. It could be European. Okay. Yeah, it could be a European. Okay. I mean, come on. They're white too. I mean, it could be a European.
Saying, I didn't know if you meant white American.
Look here.
If Hartenstein is disqualified because his pops is an Afro-German, yes. The European Caucasians count.
Yeah, never. Okay. I've tried to. I mean, I felt like I didn't have to look, prior to 1990.
And you guys are thinking, this is white, because like Austin Rivers, his mom is white.
Yes.
Yeah, he said it's got to be full-blooded.
Not full-blooded. We have.
I'm not sure.
Mark Gasol was dicey. Mark Gasol was dicey.
Scal's looking for loopholes.
He's not. Someone tried to challenge us on that Celtics team, and I said, "No, sir."
No, but
Brian Scalabrine.
It was Scott.
Scott Pollard, was he on that team too?
Yeah, he was on that team too. So there's two guys.
Hey, Scal, you got a week. See if you can find us a team that won it all without a white guy.
NBA champion. Well, why don't you go to the next one? Like, has there ever been a runner-up or like a
final?
Yeah.
We're just saying that.
You're all about the championship.
Yes. Listen, the Rockets are already flirting with craziness by this small ball thing. Now they're going to put more on top of it by trying to be the first NBA team to win a championship without a full-blooded white person on their team. That's just too much.
It might not be. James Harden could be spectacular in this environment.
Because he's not having sex. There we go. Brian Scalabrine. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. See ya.